Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Dr. Pat Allen Empowered Communication call-in show on LA Talk Radio. I am Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of Dr. Pat Allen's Want Institute. We are a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the groundbreaking relationship work of our own world-renowned psychotherapist, Dr. Pat Allen, for more than 50 years. Tonight we have Patricia Eltage, Dr. Pat's collaborator for almost 25 years on the show, as Dr. Pat is transitioning into retirement. Patricia is an author, dream analyst, and transactional analysis. Patricia will help you better understand Dr. Pat's teachings. Before we get started, please write down the call-in number to get Patricia's answers and guidance on your relationship questions and issues. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. If you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back. Please make sure you pick up the call number after calling the station. Also, enter the number in contacts will eliminate calls going to spam. The WAN Institute offers help and guidance with communication tools, and we currently offer ongoing monthly ladies groups facilitated by Dr. Pat, myself, and Kelly Ward. If you want information regarding the monthly ladies groups, please email me at info@drpatallen.com, or you can call the office at 949-723-0338 to sign up. And now let me turn you over to our host, Patricia Eltage, to take your questions.
Hello, everyone. I am here for all of you. And thank you, Sue and the WAN Institute. So I'm looking forward to hearing all of your questions. And is someone coming in now?
No, we have nobody in yet. Let me just say, Patricia, there's no
call. Hello?
We do have a call. Okay, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do have a question. I am engaged, thanks to Dr. Pat.
Yay!
Yes. And my question is, I know that Dr. Pat mentioned two for one, and I get a little confused because I want to be in the feminine, two for one. If he does two things, I do one. So I am giving, but I guess he gives more. He's generous. And so anyway, I'm going to visit my sister. He's going to meet her for the first time. So I did mention to my sister, we'll take her out for lunch, but I never mentioned anything to him about we're taking her out for lunch. You know, that I guess.
What are you asking? What are you asking here?
Do I pay or do I let him pay?
Well, let's put it this way. Things are when we mean two for one, it's a give back. If we're given two, we receive graciously and we graciously give back. We often give back to show that we are appreciative of what they give us. But when it's a relative of yours, you can offer to take everybody out because it's your relative. Now, he may supersede you and decide, no, I'm going to take you. No, but you offer because it's your relative.
Okay, so that's not being in the masculine.
Absolutely not, because you're inviting him to meet your relative. He may step up and say, oh no, please allow me, and then you graciously accept.
Okay, so I'll do that. Because I am a little confused with the two for one. I don't want to overgive, you know, like he comes over, I every time I'm over his home, he has food for me. So when he comes to me, I have his like little treats. And
that's a give back. You make food for him too. That's a giving back with meals is it shows that you're generous in spirit. And that's the main thing. We want them to know if they are generous in spirit and demonstrate it by giving to us in any way they do, we show that we are also appreciative with our generous spirit.
Right. So another question is, okay, he'll buy me little gifts. I bought him maybe, you know, a few, not many. And then he made a remark. I said, oh, because he's always buying himself stuff.
What's the remark?
The remark was, I said, oh, you're always buying yourself stuff. He says, I have to. Nobody else does. But that's not true. I did give him a few things.
Well, that's just a comment. You know, you don't have to give him things. It's not one for one, item for item, an eye for an eye. No, it is a spirit of generosity. So if they take you out to a dinner or to a dinner and a lunch, something like that, then you maybe make a dinner. So it shows that you're appreciative. It doesn't have to be exact. I buy you a dinner. You a dinner. No, it's not that at all. Or he takes you out and you say, oh, can I rub your neck? That's generosity in appreciation in spirit.
Yeah, I do that. I do that. Now,
that kind of giving, being kind and being bodily touching, and that's giving also.
Yeah, I do that. I'm usually more initiating that more, and I'm wondering if that's, you know, because I'm wondering if
you don't need to initiate all the time. If you mean initiate a foreplay, is that what you're talking about?
Initiating
affection. You're talking about affection?
Affection. I do that most of the time, yes.
Okay, well, don't overdo that either, because every individual is different on how much affection that they can handle. Sometimes people...
He seems to like it, to be honest with you.
Continue doing it, please.
Yeah, he seems to like it. And then another comment he made was, because he's generous, but I noticed the last two places... he brought me for food, like to eat out, were like, and I didn't mind. They were like not great, the great restaurants. I didn't really care, but he mentioned, oh, it's like a hole in the wall, you know? So, but I won like a contest from work, you know, like money. And he says, oh, you could take me out to dinner. He said that.
He said you will after he took you to the hole in the wall? Oops. Something happened. She fell off the technical, by the way, we're in what some people refer to as Mercury in retrograde, which is an astrological event.
Oh, hello?
There you are.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so I'm going to win money from my job, you know? So then he said, a contest, and then he says, oh, you could take me out to dinner. That's what he said.
Okay. And laugh and say, yo, that's a good idea. So say
I did say yes, because he's very generous with me. You know, I mean, I don't want to
be cute about it. Say, oh, but instead of yes, like, you know, like it was a dutiful thing to say. Of course. Be enthusiastic with your generosity, too, and your give backs. We like to call it a give back. So be happy about it.
Okay, I got it. And thank you so much, because, I'm so glad for this phone meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, bye.
Yes, let's see. Again, let's see. Our call-in number is 323-203-0815. Make sure you put it in your contacts. Sam will call you back, and we don't want it to go to spam. We'd love to get your call and answer any questions. And at 5 o'clock, we'll be doing dream interpretation with Patricia. Patricia, do you want to tell? Oh, we have another caller here. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Yes,
hello.
I do. Hello.
Oh,
hi.
Can you mm-hmm. talk up just a little bit? You're kind of low tone here.
Oh, sure. Yes, I can definitely speak louder. Hi, Dr.
Okay.
Pat. How are you?
It's
hi,
not this- Dr. Pat. It's Patricia. Patricia.
Hi. How are
Dr.
you?
Pat.
I'm
oh,
here
not,
for you.
Not Dr.
I am
no,
here
Dr.
for you.
Is it not Dr. Pat tonight?
No, it's not Dr. Pat Allen today. It's Patricia Eltinge is our guest. She's Dr. Allen's protege. She's been trained by Dr. Allen.
Oh. Okay,
and I am
great.
Here for you.
Thank
what
you
can
so
I do
much,
for you?
Pat, Patricia.
Yes.
I have a question about an ex that has gotten back in touch with me. And we've talked a bit, but he wants me to send naked photos. Before
he wants you to do sexting, we call sexting. So he's interested in having
yes.
sexting with you. Okay, well, how do you feel about it? That's the main thing.
I am not ready for that.
Okay.
I want to meet in person.
You're not in a relationship right now. He's reaching out and wanting sexting with you without rekindling a relationship. Am I right?
Yeah, we've had some talks about relationship, but yes, definitely. He's not.
Had you previously been in a relationship with this person?
I don't feel like we made a real commitment, like a formal commitment.
Did you ever have
like
sex
you said,
with this person? Did you ever have intercourse with this person?
Oral sex, yes.
Oh, okay. You gave and received from this person?
Just gave.
Oh, you were the giver. You were the giver. Okay, that's fine. That's he got in. He got in your body. You know what we say, once they get in your body one way or another, whether it be vaginally or orally or anally, that is sex. So he was able to have sex with you. Now, you didn't have sex because there was nothing in it for you. So now he is thinking that he can get some more of that, and now he wants sexting. So what is it you want? What do you want?
I want to know how to communicate that maybe I made a mistake before.
And that's how you communicate. Okay, so here's what we do. We say, thank you so much for your interest. And you can make it coy and sound cute about it. We don't want to punish them for asking for what they want, because that's what men do. They ask for what they want. Now, it's up to us to know what we don't want and explain to them, to tell them what we don't want, and say, I really appreciate you reaching out to me and wanting sexy photos from me. However, I'm not comfortable with that right now. But if you're wanting to meet and talk about whatever and meet and get together, I'm more than willing to do that. And what? And then you say, what do you think about that?
Okay. And do I mention in the past, because he's bringing up the past a lot, like as if that's the reason why I should.
How does he bring it up? Yeah. Because we all don't bring it up unless he's asking for more sex. And if he does, then is when you say, I believe I made a mistake in the past. And at this time, I only want to be mm-hmm. having sexual intercourse or any kind of sex in that way with someone I'm in a committed relationship with.
Okay. He did
so when you get together with him and yeah. he asks you for something, then that's when you tell him.
Okay. We've actually kind of already argued a bit about it already. And I kind
what
of...
What was the argument? Over, what does he say?
He said, I've already seen you naked before.
Right.
So he doesn't understand.
Well, seeing someone naked in person is different than sexting. That means that picture can right. be sent across the internet or go anywhere on the airways.
Exactly.
So to say that you're not going to say, I appreciate that you're asking me. However, I'm not comfortable with it. But if you want to get together again sometime, I would love to do that.
I'd love to get together with you. If you would want to get together with, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't get together with him. That's how, up to you how you feel about that.
Right. Okay. So basically just, you know, explain it and then just...
There's no explaining other than I'm not comfortable with it. Oh. Don't get into a long explanation at this stage. Just say, oh, well, thank you, but I'm not interested in doing that right now. I'm not, and not that you're not interested, you're not comfortable doing it, because that's coming from the feminine position of knowing what you don't want, because you don't want to do it. And just say you're not comfortable doing that, but you're willing to get together, period. Keep it short.
Okay. I can propose another option. I can say, bring it up, we could get together in person.
Yeah. I'd love to get together with you whenever you want to ask me for that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not like being masculine and giving him an idea.
No, because you're setting the standard. We women set the standard. We set our own personal boundaries, which is standards of relationship boundaries.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless you aren't comfortable seeing him again, you don't have to ever have to see him again if you don't want to. But if you do want to see him again, you tell him so.
Right.
Just yeah, maybe you're not comfortable sexting.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I so appreciate it.
Great. Good question. And for all the ladies out there, that's a wonderful question, because men have a right to ask for what they want. And there's a lot of, Sue knows this, there's a lot of things on the internet with man-hating blogs and all this. Am I right, Sue?
Yes. I follow a lot where when the men, Dr. Allen has a thing, you don't have to like or approve what somebody does, but a man has a right to be a liar, a cheater, or a manipulator. You don't have to like it and you don't have to accept it, but gracefully, you know, you can tell him in a rational way that you're not comfortable, and the price is you're not going to date him anymore. You can't be a male basher, because then you get mad at him and you carry that anger to the next guy. And
we don't want to castrate. We do not want to castrate the male of the species, people. We want men to ask for what they want, and then we need to know what our personal boundaries are, and in a ladylike way, let them know what we are comfortable with or not comfortable with. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, caller. Let us know how it goes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you. I have ladies groups that I'll be starting. My January ladies groups are full, but February I have another group of lady groups that will be opening, and Dr. Allen has a wait list. So if you're interested, you can call me at the office, 949-723-0338, or you can send an email to info@drpatallen.com. I go over communication, how to talk, like Patricia did with this lady, how to talk to men to get your wants and your not wants requested to the man in a rational way, not emotional, rather than, you know, stuff your feelings or get mad at them. So if you're interested in my ladies' groups, give me a call at the office. And with that, we have our callers. Please feel free to call us at 323-203-0815. If you just joined us, we have Patricia Elton on the show today. She's doing questions and answers. And then at 5 o'clock, she'll be doing she'll be doing dream analysis. So stay tuned and call in. Patricia,
I also want to mention that men call in too. And yes, the men, please call us. That we had some good men callers last week. And these principles apply to men and women, and men can have their personal boundaries as well, but differently. But we want to encourage men to ask for what they want.
Yes.
And do call in.
We want all the callers to call in. Come and call and have your questions answered. I do have a couple of, let me see, questions. Well, the last caller was the same way. I have a lady, I don't have it read here, but she asked me, she'd been going out with a boyfriend for a while, and she found out he was still on Match, and he's been kind of ghosting her, so she was mad. And, you know, of course, she did the whole name calling and everything and blah, 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 and it hurt her. She asked, what should she have done and what can she do now to move forward?
Well, first of all, the way you get your mind off of zeroing in on one person and until you have a committed long-term relationship, whether it be a promise ring or a verbal commitment that you are in a long-term relationship going towards something longer term, whether it be a partner or marriage. Well, you need to, where were we? I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. We want to let them know that or they can know that we are dating other people. If they are dating, we are dating. If everybody's dating, you're dating. So that's why women, we need you to be dating two, at least two other people until you get a commitment from one. Right, Sue?
That reminds me. Okay, I have a lady. She's doing the duty dating, and the issue is the guy she's dating is now mad because she's dating, and he feels like an idiot dating her when she's dating other people, but he's not willing to commit to her yet, and it's causing her a lot of anxiety because she is not ready to commit to this one guy. But he's badgering her, guiltifying her.
Is he asking her to be committed?
No. He just doesn't want her dating other people, but he's not ready to commit to her. He doesn't want her dating anybody else. I said, well, that's a nice concept, but he likes his harem, but he wants you all to himself, but yeah, he doesn't want to pay the price.
That. Okay, many men want that, and they have a right to want that. And sometimes they can find that, and they can find enough women who will participate like that. But if you are a woman who wants to be in a committed relationship or just be dating until you are in a committed relationship, those are your standards.
Yes. I understand that. So again, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Have your pen ready, 323-203-0815. We have Patricia on the line here to help with any relationship questions. And at 5 o'clock, we'd be happy to do dream analysis. So stay tuned the second half for have your dream interpreted by Patricia. Patricia, you could tell us a little bit about what you do that correlates the dreams with relationships, because I have a lot of my ladies that are in my ladies groups. We also have a dream class for them, and I work with them with their dreams, interpret kind of what's going on with their relationships.
That's right. Let me explain something to everyone out there. The dream world is really the backdoor entrance to your own subconscious mind. It is your unfiltered. Stick with us, caller. Let me finish this.
Oh, just a minute here. We have just a minute, caller. Patricia's finishing and we'll be right with you. Go ahead, Patricia.
When we get in touch with our dreams, we are getting in touch with our own subconscious, which is the unfiltered perception of how we are thinking and feeling. It's the unfiltered version of us, whereas in our daily waking life, it is the filtered version. So it's the real us but we need to understand the symbols. That's the trick. My book is called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. So in the meantime, we'll get back to that. Let's
Yes. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
I do. I am the lady who's dating the widow.
Yes, I remember. Nice to hear from you.
How are you? Very good. Thanks for calling in again.
Yes. So I don't think I'm dating him. he spent the holiday, New Year's and Christmas and all that stuff together.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. You sound a little muffled.
Okay.
That's better. Yeah.
Okay. So I met his children and everything, just to give a... And I met his children and everything was going fine. I told him I was romantically interested in him. And so it feels like he has gone back and pulled back into his shell of looking at me as a friend based on his lack of communication. He won't commit to taking me out, won't give a date and time, won't ask me for a date and time, will stay and be with things like, well, maybe we'll get together this weekend, and then we don't. Mm. So I feel like I was vulnerable by telling him that and spending time, and I feel used. And I'm trying not to feel used. He brought my triggers of abandonment, and
that's a big one.
I did a lot of crying. I did a lot of crying and journaling. So I feel better in affirmation, so I feel better, but now I feel like I need to pull back, and because I would answer his call when he called, you know, give him access to me that I wouldn't normally give somebody who was ambiguous
Let me tell you this. It's very, I commend you for allowing yourself to feel your vulnerability. It's very important to feel your own vulnerability and even expose your vulnerability if you want to be in a relationship. So that's okay. Men sometimes come and they have this ebb and flow and they get scared too. So you just need to wait until he comes to you again. And now you can date. Are you willing to date other people?
I've been willing for 3 years.
You've been doing what?
Yes. I've been willing to date others for 3 years, but
okay, willing to. So, what are you doing? I want to know what your action steps are in order to date.
Well, I joined a matchmaking service a year and a half ago. They are supposed to give me 12 dates. I've had 6 so far, and it's just, I'm 61. I don't know if that has something to do
with it. No, let me tell you something. People are dating into their 90s nowadays. I'm telling you the truth. So it's energy. It's energetic. So when you're putting it out there that you are available, because part of being in the feminine is to be available and vulnerable. So, you just go out there and date other people and wait. He will miss you. He will call you. You're not going to chase him, and he will know where you stand now. At least he knows that you're open.
Okay, so then the question is, when he calls, should I tell him what I just expressed to you, or just leave that to myself and just go with
it? No. You just be your happy-go-lucky self as if nothing ever happened.
Okay. I got it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Right. Thank you, caller. Let's see. Also, I just want to remind everybody, this is the Dr. Pat Allen Show with our host, Patricia Elton, and myself, Sue Wagner. I'm the director of the Want Institute. And if Dr. Allen is still available, she offers life script sessions, and also Patricia Elton offers life script, and Dr. Pat offers ladies groups. So if you have if you want information, you can reach me at the office at info@drpatallen.com. You take a pencil and write down our phone number. The office phone number is 949-723-0338. And the website is info@drpatallen.com. And you can go to our website, www.drpatallen. We do have some free streaming videos of chemistry, compatibility, and communication. It's like an hour-long video of Dr. Allen. It will tell you how to communicate using Dr. Allen's tools, the strokes and stand. With that, Patricia, did you want to follow up with what we left off about your dreamed interpretation regarding how it affects us in our relationships?
Yes,
Yes, yes. So how that segues into every aspect of our life, including our relationships, is how our masculine and feminine energies are portrayed by the characters in the play I call our dreams. I call the dreams a play that we construct. Our subconscious mind constructs this scenario really designed for us to work out our own dilemmas, our issues, our wants and not wants. And from our masculine side, which is our thinking, our doing, our productivity, our feminine side, which is our feeling centeredness, our feelings. So all these symbols that and characters, even alive or dead, or children to old people to animals, are all projected in our dream to bring us messages for our personal growth and transformation, including our relationships, FYI.
Yes, we have a caller on the line. Your caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Nope.
Oh, they just left. They'll be back. Seems to be a problem. You know, you're right. It's like the airlines, all of that kind of hardware, the software got ruined. It's the same. All the electronical things are going bad, like you said, whatever it was, Mercury and the retro.
Mercury and retrograde, whatever you want to get. Definitely. Hello.
Here we go again. Caller, you're back on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Yes, yes. Hi. Thanks for taking the call. And I just want to let you know I've been listening to you, Sue and Patricia, last couple of weeks. I think you're doing a great job. So I have a question. Maybe it's a minor question, but maybe you can help me, Patricia.
No question too small on this show.
Okay. All right. Well, I've been in a committed relationship, living with a beautiful, wonderful woman I'm in love with. And we have a great relationship. But there's sometimes we've been living together, I mentioned. There are little things that may bug me, okay? And there are little things. So
little things build up if you don't express that they bug you. So, but some can be overlooked. Let's hear it.
Well, I mean, it could be anything minor without getting into details.
Yeah, we like details on this show. We like details.
Okay. It could be, let's say, something around the house. Okay. Maybe I'm a neat Nick, you know, and maybe she leaves something in a place that isn't the right place, you know. So, which is kind of a minor thing. And,
it's a thorn under your saddle, we call it. So,
it's little things, but it builds up. It's so small, but then I notice it maybe, you know, I don't want to say anything because maybe there's a reason why it's there and I don't want to move it because, again, maybe there's a reason it's there. And so, you know, but I just notice it and I do want to know from you, how would I process that kind of thing? Again, minor in my opinion, considering the great love and great partnership we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why we teach, and Sue teaches this to her ladies groups too, and that is how we negotiate our relationships in the areas of time, space, money, and play. Now, one of those categories is space, which is what you're talking about now, and that is my space, your space, our space. And everything in a relationship needs to be negotiated, or little things that bug you will build up and then you might snap at somebody later because you've shoved too many things under the rug. So what you do is say, let's negotiate whose space is whose. And then when something is happens outside of that negotiation, let's say there's a common space that you've negotiated is our space, or you say there's a negotiated personal space of yours, and you, where, what is this something in my space? And you say, Darl, you knock on the, we say we knock on the door, which is basically saying, darling, I have something to mention to you, or if it's right on the spot, darling, can I mention something to you right now? Is this a good time? Yes, it is, she'd say. Well, can you, would you mind terribly to put this away, that since we've negotiated this, this neat situation that we have talked about, or would you please, do, you think you can do that? Would you please do that to keep this, the peace here? So then you say, are you willing to do that? So that's the contract. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to do that? She says,
right.
She says, yes, I am. So what other little things? Each little thing can be addressed. But then there are some things, like you said, that you can blow off. If it's not going to continue to build and add up too many things that then become, you're pissed at her, then that's not a good situation either. So you need to pick your battles, which ones are important to you. But the best thing is to ward it off in the beginning. Annually, if you're in a long-term relationship, at least annually, and some people do it every 6 months, as negotiate time, space, money, and play. And space is often a big issue with people living together.
You know, listening to you and Dr. Pat also over the years, you know, we both listen to you and Dr. Pat. Is that, yeah, and let's say there's a larger issue at hand, then, you know, we try to practice the skills, not always perfect, but we practice the skills that, that you've taught, and they are, it is a successful way to communicate, and it is part, I believe, of our long-term longevity together, too.
Well, so, well, negotiating is the big key. That's the part of the communication. It sounds like you already have chemistry that keeps you in it long term, and you have compatibility. And this this is part of the compatibility area. And compatibility, we're talking about how you live with somebody and how you can live together. And then there's the communication that affects the compatibility.
Right. So, I mean, we're big communicators, I have to say. You know, so that's why I'm saying that it's kind of a minor thing, but, you know, every once in a while it passes through. So I want to process it in the way you're saying, of course. And,
well, process the little things, because then when it's time to negotiate the bigger things, you've been skill building along the way.
Yes. All right. Well, this is really helpful. I appreciate it. And I keep listening and then continue. And much success to you and Sue also.
Thank you, caller.
Okay. All right. Bye for now. Bye.
Bye for now.
Bye. There was something that I know that we get a lot of couples are asking. There's Dr. Allen's known for her relationship contract items. It goes over time, space, money, and play. That is one of the negotiating tools that Dr. Allen uses for all of her couples. Do you want to go over any of that, Patricia, to help the audience? This relationship contract item is available to see in demonstrated on our website, drpatallen.com, under the free access chemistry, compatibility, and communication. You can see this. Dr. Allen has a couple there demonstrating it.
Yes, I have everybody, and we've all had everybody doing this initial it's a very simple form, and the first part is time, and that is my time, your time together, and time with others. And you negotiate that. A lot of men golf nowadays, and the women feel like they're golf widows, but that's negotiated into the relationship, that the amount when he golfs, and she needs to like negotiate, be okay with a negotiation that works for both of you when it comes to him, his own time with he spends. Yes. Him and his buddies.
And then yes. You have your time when you go kibitz with your girlfriends and go hang out and do things, the girly stuff. That's your time. And then when you spend time together. And when you
see a lot of couples get mad because they say, he never takes me out. If you negotiate, we go out once a week or twice a month, get a contract so that you both are on the same page and you're not upset when the other person disappoints you if you have it down. That's right. The importance of this. And she recommends doing it once every 3 months for the first year, and then the second year every 6 months, and then after the second year, once a year. And then the space, that's an important one.
Huge, huge. That's what we just went over with this last caller, was space. My personal space, your personal space. Some couples like separate bathrooms because one person keeps the bathroom very neat and puts all their things away and the other person doesn't. And if you share a bathroom, then you designate which side is your side, which side is your side, and negotiate how that space is kept so that it's not a constant irritation.
The chores and maintenance is a big one too under that category.
That's in that category too. Who does what? You do the trash, I do the dishes, you do the shopping, I do the cooking, whatever. There's chores involved where you negotiate who does what. So then you're not constantly having a bitch fight, for God's sake, you know?
That's true, because you know there's always that thing where somebody goes, I took the trash out yesterday. If you could say one person washes the dishes every time, one person puts them away, or you negotiate, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you make the dinner.
If it's negotiated, it doesn't become a problem. And then if it's not convenient for you one time, then you make a request if that person can cover for you that time. Yes. So each negotiation can be renegotiated temporarily or permanently, but this is why this cuts a lot of arguing out in relationships when it's pre-negotiated.
I get a lot of ladies that are in relationships, you know, they're like pre-engaged. She's buying all the groceries and also cooking all the meals because they didn't set up this contract item. So she's resentful for him. And he says, well, I do it sometimes. And she gets stuck with it all the time.
That's
so
right.
It's very important to have this because, you know, if you have it all scheduled, if he doesn't want to cook on his night, he makes sure that he goes and gets a takeout so that they have food.
That's
his responsibility. That's
right.
He doesn't have to cook it, but he's responsible for dinner Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, if that's what they agree upon, whether he cooks it or buys it.
So time, space, money.
The money, mine, yours, and ours.
That's right. And that is it's one of the biggest issues why people split up.
Yes.
And it's really must be negotiated. And that is my personal money, which is I do with what I want with my money and what you do what you want with your, how you divide up your money if you're in a relationship where you share, or our money. Then there's our money and you negotiate how monies are spent. And it wards off a lot of financial conflict in relationships. It's just the most beautiful thing to negotiate these items, and money is huge.
Yeah, especially with, like, if one person makes more money and the other one it makes less, it's not advisable to go equal, because the poor person that doesn't make a lot of money won't have enough money to go equal with the one that does. So it's like a percentage. You put in a percentage, and then each one gets their own pin money so that she's able to go get her nails done or her hair done without having to
beg,
ask permission or beg. She's got some kind of money, and then he's got his money where he can go and, you know, do his golf or buy his, you know, computer stuff or his new golf club, so that she's not resentful he's spending the community money. So you have to have like three. Each one has their own pin money. You have to have some to pay all the bills, mm-hmm. and then you should have some to like stash away for like vacations and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And in some relationships, the man is makes a lot of money, and he doesn't want the wife to have to pay for anything. He gives her a stipend.
Yes.
Negotiated up front, so you don't have to ask every 5 minutes.
Yes.
That's negotiated in the beginning too.
Yes. If she's the stay-at-home mom keeping the household up, she doesn't want to have to beg for money to go get her hair done and him saying, no, we don't have it available. She'd be a little resentful there.
It's negotiated up front, and it just makes things more peaceful. Times money. Now, after money, we have play, another negotiated item, and that is how we handle entertainment, how I entertain myself, and how you entertain yourself individually. Let's say the lady likes to go to her book club on Wednesday nights. It's book club night. Okay, you negotiate that in the couple therapy or the couple talk. And then when the man wants to do his golf or his buddies or cigar night, you negotiate that. It's talked about up front, and that's play. How we play together is another area. How we play with other people. When is date night comes under that? Do we have date night? And do we have, how many times a week do we go out to dinner? How many times a month do we go to a movie? All these items are, if you work on them together, you will really ward off the bickering and resentment.
And then it's like money and sex is a big thing. And even the sex part, you do the under play, it's non-sexual. And then there's the sexual, because you get a lot of ladies that want sex 3 times a day, and the man is not available to do that. So you do, and then she gets resentful, or it's the other way around. You have to negotiate how much sex you're going to
have. The other way too. I had one couple where the man wanted to have sex 3 or 4 times a day,
and she's like, I can't do it that much. I can do it once a day.
She was exhausted. So
that's what I mean. You can end up, if you negotiate it, then she gets her wants and not wants, and he can negotiate his wants and not wants. So you have a win-win. Now with this relationship contract items. Dr. Pat is not available to do private. She's not available to do private. She just does the life scripts and ladies groups. But if you want, Patricia offers couples negotiation contract items. And I believe, did you give them your contact number, Patricia?
Oh, you can find me online at thedreamclass.com. Or my office number is 310-528-0515, and you can find me in those ways, in my email, patricia@thedreamclass.com, and I'm available to help people negotiate their stuff.
Yeah, if you miss that number, you can always call the office, and I'll refer you over to Patricia's contact information. Patricia's worked with Dr. Allen and myself for quite a few years, so we're all kind of a team working together here with that. So let's see. At 5 o'clock, we will be starting our dream interpretation. If anybody out there is listening, if they'd like to call us for some more relationship questions, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Sam at the switchboard sees your number and he'll call you back. Make sure that you pick up and enter this number in your contacts so that it doesn't go to spam. Patricia, do you have anything else you want to talk about regarding Dr. Allen's material or work or what you offer?
Well, I do want to say one thing about commitment. Dr. Pat always talks about when you keep a commitment with someone, and earlier we had a caller
when someone doesn't keep follow through, they aren't keeping a commitment, or you make a plan with someone and they flake on you. This is from Dr. Pat, always says, the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. So that goes across the board with everything, every kind of commitment, even if it sounds small, every commitment should be followed through on or rescheduled.
Yes, that's true. If you want to order Dr. Allen's book, Getting to I Do, Staying Married and Loving It, The Answers, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, they're available on Amazon. You can go Google her on Amazon. And Patricia, your book is also available on Amazon as well. Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself.
It's called The Dream Class. Know Your Dreams.
Know Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And yes, that book is in its second printing already. It's been a...
Oh,
yes.
Oh, your book. Oh, that's nice.
Right. That's right. So we are here waiting for all of our wonderful audience to come back from all their vacations and missed flights from the fiasco in the airline industry.
I know. When I heard that, I thought, yes, I remember you saying it's that, what do you call it, Mercury retro. Electronical stuff goes bad.
Some people say, oh, that's poppycock, but you know what? Call it what you will. Call it a coincidence. A lot of things have been going haywire.
I know. That was kind of weird. All of the FAA terminal, the airwaves had to be shut down.
So here we are and waiting for our callers. And, oh, do you have any questions? Sometimes people...
I don't have any questions right now. I didn't check the questions because we had so many callers last week. I didn't check on them. But what I do have, I pulled up Dr. Allen's book, The Answers, and she's got a lot of those little gems in it. Mm-hmm. And there's different things where she has the four phases. Maybe you can help the audience understand the perfect phase, the imperfect phase, the negotiation phase, and the commitment phase. Those are all within a year. Can you briefly go over each one of those phases and what times they are, what time frame?
Yes, Sue, thank you for that. Well, everyone probably has experienced the rosy period where everybody's great, everybody's perfect. When you start a relationship, it's the rosy period, and that lasts about 3 months. So the first 3 months, everybody's great, doing everything perfectly, and then the next phase is the
imperfect phase. That's when he starts burping.
We see the warts. So that's when you're starting to see everybody's faults. And then you're going, oh my God, how come I didn't see that before? Well, you had all your hormones gushing. And the book on that, by the way, is Alchemy of Love. So falling in love is a chemical, biological event. So in the meantime, after that phase wears off, we are in the imperfect phase. And here we are seeing their faults. And then that's when you start doing your due diligence, which is, what could I live with and what can I not live with? And then the next trimester, the next 3 months, is the negotiating period where you start negotiating those things that you will not accept. You only get a couple of non-negotiables, by the way, to be fair. So you're going to start seeing what you can accept and what you want to reject and negotiate those items between the two of you, because you're not going to look perfect in the other person's eyes either. You're going to see each other's faults. And then you decide if you are compatible enough. And if you have, since you had enough chemistry to get into it in the first place, that's the glue. Then you've got this compatibility thing you're working on now. And then once you've negotiated that third trimester to see if it's going to be long term. So that's why we like people to get into an engagement so that you can work out those things before you rush into marriage and not marry somebody for a year.
In my ladies groups, you know, I work to get them dating. I help them with their online profiles, and then we get dates, and then sometimes we get them committed, and then the guy maybe gets afraid and backs off, and they break up. It's a process to get the one, you know, it's practice. You know, you have to be confident in yourself on what you want and what you don't want. And you have to communicate it. And there's what I'm finding, I work a lot with the attachment styles. And there's a good book I recommend, Attached, The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. It's by Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. You can find it on Amazon. You know a lot, little bit about attachment styles, the anxious, avoidant, secure, how they affect relationships.
Yeah, so sometimes people have from their history, and this gets into why I go over people's scripts, and that is, this is part of that, because we're all scripted from programs that have been downloaded to us from the time we were born, even 6 months in utero, and we get input from our parents, our schools, our churches, the media, our friends, teachers, etc. So one person comes into a relationship with their script, you come into the relationship with your script, and now we have different ways of being together. So that's why I love to do the script work with people, so they can understand what parts of their script they want to change and maybe eliminate so that they can be partnered. And what parts are still useful to them. But anyway, so when people are deciding and doing this dance of relating, they work out how much of, and understanding the other person where they came from too is a big part. So sometimes people take it personally when one person reacts a certain way. They're really reacting off of how they were raised, and also partly sometimes their past relationships. So you just kind of have to go with the flow and negotiate as you go, and don't abort relationships too quickly, because then you won't get the lesson. We try to you get the lesson, or until it works out. It might work out with these new tools you're learning and these communication skills, or it may come to the place where you say, no, this is not going to work out, but don't abort too soon.
Yes, most of the ladies I find, they have the anxious attachment where they're clingy. They need constant love and approval, validation. Mm-hmm. And those ladies always pick avoidant men. They're like magnets. The avoidant man wants to relent, but then he runs away, you know, and it's a nonstop game all the time. But your attachment, you can work through it and desensitize by going out on with men to feel comfortable. Most of my ladies, when they go out in their anxious attachment, they don't have chemistry. And that chemistry is a sign. Actually, if you have chemistry, that means you're familiar with what you're used to growing up, which is actually a big red danger sign. You know, chemistry is telling you familiar, which is usually the bad person. So
that's right.
You through to go with the person you have no chemistry with, and desensitize till you become comfortable with a secure man, which is very hard for ladies because they keep picking the same guy over and over because of the chemistry, which is really a sign of he's familiar from my childhood.
That's right. And that is not always the right one for you, and not necessarily for long term. And it might not be the safe one for you in the long run.
Yeah, that's why usually a lot of my ladies in my ladies groups, they get their scripts done by Patricia so they can find out how they, most of my ladies are very masculine. Their core is masculine, and I have to shift them to feminine. So it usually Patricia digs in there and finds out where they got these masculine traits. It was either the mother was very masculine or the father trained her to be more masculine. Oh, we have a caller here. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a question?
Hi, ladies. Yes. Hi, Patricia.
Hi. I'm here for you.
Hi.
I'm calling about dreams. I think it's
okay.
5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Yay. I had a dream last night, but I also have a dream that I had almost 4 years ago, and I never had it interpreted. And I feel like that was an important vivid dream because I keep thinking about it.
You mean has it been a repetition dream, or you had it one time and it stayed with you?
Yeah, I had it one time and it kind of like really stayed with me.
You'd have to tell me too what was going on. Let's hear that. Which one do you want to work on?
The old one.
Okay, let's work on the old one, and if we have time.
Okay, so it was, I was the only person in the dream, and I was walking on the ocean water, and all I can see is the ocean water and horizon. So pretty much just the water and the sky and my feet. Mm-hmm. And I was scared because I'm like, I mean, you can't really walk on the water. But I also was, I guess the inner dialogue was just like, just do one step. And if you're not gonna go underwater, you're okay. So I was walking slowly.
Well, let me tell you something about the dream symbols. In our dream work, water images represent our sensual, sexual relationship side of life. So at that time, when you had this dream, were you testing out a relationship but not fully ready to get committed?
I actually had a surgery on my ovaries. I had the cyst, endometriosis removed from my ovaries.
Right, but were you in a relationship?
And I was not. No, I was not in a relationship. And right. I think it happened the day or two after the surgery.
Well, yeah, but were you thinking about being in a relationship
at that? Probably general, but nothing specific. I didn't have anybody on my mind.
Okay, well, it sounds to me that still there was something on your mind about relationship stuff that was, you were afraid, maybe be, now you're telling me that you had your ovaries removed, so it's possible that you were afraid that that would affect your sex life or your romantic life or your sensual, sexual side of you. So, because
yeah.
Said your feeling in the dream was fear. You were afraid, but then you were willing to take one more step and you would be okay. So it was your subconscious mind telling you it's going to be okay, even though you're afraid. So
that
was that. But now that was then. Now, what do you have for us now in daily life? Because I like to correlate the dream life with what's going on in your present day life.
Thank you. The reason that I asked, because yesterday I had the dream that it was again about the water and the ocean. I was on the beautiful island, something similar to Hawaii, but it wasn't specific that it was Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of people, men and women, that I didn't know, but we all were some kind of group because everybody were friendly. And they just all jumped into the water and they start swimming, like saying, oh, let's go to a different island and let's just swim there.
And what, so you, what was the last, you said you were just sitting there?
They just swam there. Let's just swim to a different island.
But what were you doing when they said, let's all go to an island?
Well, I was excited, but also I'm like, how, rationalizing that it's kind of far and what if there's something in the water. So I didn't jump right away. I went I think I either wanted to change my bathing suit or find some reason not to.
It sounds to me like you are avoidant. You are avoiding relationships. Are you trying to date? Do you want to be in a relationship?
I am in the relationship.
Okay. Well, what is it that you're afraid of or you're avoiding? You're avoiding something in the relationship. What kind of avoidance are you going through?
Oh, my goodness. There's a few things that is going on.
Well, let's have it.
I'm in the Dr. Allen's, one of her women's groups.
Good.
And I am negotiating with my boyfriend the engagement.
Good.
And the last conversation that I had with Dr. Allen was to talk about the money. So she worked with me for my men hate, so not to hate my boyfriend, because he brought up that money is one of the reasons why he thinks that we might not be ready to get engaged.
Mm-hmm.
However, so I'm willing to have that conversation, and she gave me a good advice and instructions on how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
However, we spent a lot of time together for holidays like Christmas and New Year's, and he brought up a situation. He said, I need to work during the week because I stayed at his place. We don't live together. I have my own place.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he needs some time after work to focus on his things that he needs to take care of. So I just left his place. We didn't get into the argument or anything. I kind of like gave him the space. But we never had a plan what to do next. So we didn't even see each other this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Are you in a committed relationship and being sexual at this time?
Yes, we did.
Okay, you're committed at least that far. Okay, good.
I guess I'm avoiding of giving him space and not chasing him, but there's also this.
Well, you're demonstrating in your subconscious mind that you are avoidant, that you're not fully, you're not all in, as they say, yourself, because you're not sensing that he's all in. But yet there's parts of you, because those other people in your dream also represent sides of you. You would become all in because those people in the dream who want to swim off and you be in the water is fully in the relationship. So you are holding back a bit with this trepidation and concern that he's not all in. But I believe from this dream that you'd be willing to, part of you, now who went in the water, males and females, or mostly males or females?
Both. Males.
But those are your thoughts and feelings.
Maybe more females, but also some males.
Okay, so in our dreams, the females represent our thinking, our productivity, and the way our ideas and the way we think. And the male figures represent our feelings and how we feel about something. So you're trying to think your way through this. If it's more heavily weighted in the thinking department, why don't you stick with your gut? And how do you feel about him right now? What are your feelings?
I feel like I'm afraid to fully fall in love and surrender to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm afraid that if he's not on the same page with me.
Well, that's understandable. But in the meantime, why don't you just stick with your feelings? And if he wait till he contacts you next, and then if he asks you how you feel, you tell him, say, I'm feeling a little uneasy right now. You can express your feelings if he's asked you. Because that's feminine. It's feminine to be in your feeling centeredness and express your fear that you don't feel safe.
Can I tell him something like, I really appreciate it that you asked me to have more space, but I feel a little uncomfortable since we used to spend so much time together, and now I didn't.
No, we don't ask for more. We don't ask for more, better, yes, or different time or affection, okay, or sex. Mm-mm. No, you can't, okay, ask for more attention or sex or affection. Mm-mm.
Okay, so he asked me how.
Just sit there and you wait it out and see what him coming to you. And it's not about a faith walk. You wait as long as you're comfortable waiting, and then you're going to, at some point, if you're not comfortable waiting any, he wants to wait how long?
Well, I did say that it's a long weekend and I have a Monday off. Do you have Monday off as well? And he texted me, I was just thinking about that, and I was going to ask you, that he's thinking of doing something. How do I feel about it? And I said, I feel happy and excited.
Good. And that's what I want to hear. I want you to be excited, enthusiastic when they want to mention something.
Okay, cool. So now I'm just patiently waiting until he...
You're going to be patient, passive, and vulnerable.
Thank you. And regarding the dream that I'm not fully in, do you suggest to work more on expressing my feelings or not?
Yeah, you can express your feelings, but wait till he brings up something. Right now, we just want you to be patient and passive and vulnerable, which is feminine.
Okay, thank you so much.
This is how I work with the dream life and relationships and how it affects our lives. And we can get a jump on how we need to maneuver in life by understanding how we're really thinking and feeling about our situations. Did you got that? Very good. Very good. Thank you.
Can I ask you one more question or not?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So regarding the dreams, if I remember my feelings in the dream, does that mean that's how I feel in the real life, like in the
yeah, past? Yeah, that's it. Yes. In your waking life, that's, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. And keep a dream book, keep a spiral notebook or some pad by your bed with a pen, and keep your eyes closed upon waking. The book is called The Dream Class by Patricia Eltinge, ELTINGE.
Yeah, I actually got your book in the library one time, so maybe I need to.
You want it. It's a good reference. You're going to want to refer to it. It's a lot. It's the dream version, in a way, of Dr. Pat Allen's book, Getting to I Do. It's used as a reference book, too. You'll want to use it for years.
Great. Thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate your help.
Thank you. Okay, let's see. Good evening. This is Sue Wagner again with the WAN Institute. Thanks for staying with us for the second part of the Dr. Pat Allen call-in show on LA Talk Radio. Patricia Eltinge is our guest tonight. She's an author, dream analysis, and transactional analyst, and will be taking your calls about nighttime dreams. Patricia will explain how to capture your dreams, what dream symbols represent, and how, through understanding the messages that our dreams give us, we can improve our relationships and our lives. You can purchase Patricia's groundbreaking book on Amazon. It's called The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, let me mute my thing. Okay. So my dream...
Oh, you got to turn your sound down in the background.
I know, hang on, let me.
Know yourself. Oh, we have a call.
Okay, there we go.
Thank you.
Thanks. I thought I muted it. Okay, so the dream that I had was, somehow my purse got stolen or taken away or whatever.
What got stolen? I couldn't understand you.
I'm looking at my notes as I'm reading it. Hold on. So my purse got, I had a dream that my purse got stolen.
Oh, your purse. And your purse got stolen.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, it didn't get really stolen, but like no, that was just the dream.
Dream world. We know this. Okay.
And so it was stolen, and it was under a bush at the zoo.
At the zoo. At the zoo. Did you? Okay.
Yeah, it was under a bush at the zoo, like one of those rows of bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, so I found it, and there was like yellow police tape around me and the purse and little area that I found it. And so in my purse, I didn't find my regular contents inside my purse. I found like pouches of like kids' jewelry and hair breadths and stuff like that. And so, but I was also in those little pouches. When I was looking through those little pouches, I kept on finding like wads of cash, like not like really big bills, just like little, you know, kind of billfolds of like ones through 20s. And so I didn't have anywhere to put them. And so I kept on, I remember sitting on the ground and I was stuffing them under my legs because I didn't want the money flying away or people that were passing by to like steal it. And I noticed that there was like a bum standing nearby, and I was like ignoring like everybody that was like kind of gathering around me.
There was a bug?
No, a bum, like a homeless person.
Oh, a bum. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I didn't have anywhere to put the money. And so I was like kind of like stuffing all the money under my legs. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed him that he was waiting to use the drinking fountain. And so I ignore him because I'm thinking that he's going to steal the money. And I'm still sorting through the pouches and everything. And somehow he fades away, like, or goes away or something. I don't notice him like kind of like fading away. But then I also noticed like a little girl and her mom standing there, and like a friend of mine, he's like this guy, a guy friend, and he's like a gay like dancer that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're standing there waiting for me to finish going through all this stuff. And then they're like looking at me, and then I'm nearly finished going through all the pouches when the mom, you know, says, "Hey, is it okay if my daughter has your hair ties and jewelry?" And then my friend Leon and I, we say, "Yeah, that's fine. She can have whatever she wants. You know, you guys can have whatever you want between the two of them, you know, as long as they get my money first." And so that's when I woke up. So it wasn't
what was
really,
the second set about the money? They can have the money first? What?
No, I said they can have like the jewelry and the hair breadths. I said you can have whatever you guys want as long as I get the money first.
Oh, you get the money first. Okay. Yeah, well, when we talk, and that's the end of the dream?
Yeah, that was the end of the dream.
Okay. When we talk, when we see images of our purse or wallets, anything like that being stolen or lost, that's our identity. We're talking about our loss of identity. So what's been going on in your life lately where you have felt a loss of identity and you're in a zoo of all places? So and then it ends up being found under a bush. So
right.
What's going on in your life correlate with this, you losing a piece of your identity?
My driver's license renewal, I forgot that my license had expired on my birthday, and I went like a couple of days later to get my driver's license renewed, and then it still hasn't come in the mail.
Having anxiety. This is a bit of an anxiety, a dream about your identity, and you know that anyway, you recover your purse. But not everything is there. So it's reflecting to you some anxiety you have about something to do with your identity. Now, there's other aspects of it because there's these other little unimportant things other than money. Now, money, you don't care about these little girly, interesting that they're little girl stuff. Now, part of you, are you giving up? That could be the little girl side of you, because there's a little girl side of you. Everyone in your dreams also is an aspect of yourself. There's a bum in this dream, and everybody in your dream is an aspect of yourself, even the bum. So there's something where you have this loss of anxiety of loss of identity, and then there's a bum. So are you going to feel like when you don't have your identity, you'll be a bum? Is there, what's the feeling in this dream other than a bit of anxiety I'm sensing?
I have no idea. Like I didn't think it correlated to that. This is just like
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, I'm reflecting back to you that there is some anxiety that you, without your identity or your identification, will bring you anxiety that is the feeling of a homeless person in a way. That's a greater sense of anxiety. That's not a comfort place. But then the little girly stuff, and then you want the money. So money is more important to you right now than the little frivolous things of life. So, but you're stashing it. You have it, and you are securing it. So you're securing it, so no one can take your livelihood. But the main issue here is this dream is an anxiety, a dream about your loss of identity.
I don't get what the, because I had a friend that's not, I mean, he's a like really good friend or anything like that, but it's just somebody I know that, you know, like, I don't get why my gay friend was in there.
Your gay friend? Well, and how do you feel about it? What is his character? Give me his character type. Tell me what his character type is.
He's the typical, he's like a typical gay man, very like flamboyant, very...
A flamboyant type. Okay, there's all types. Yeah. Okay, so he's the flamboyant type, and he's like a good girlfriend to you in a way.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's a gay guy girlfriend. Okay, so he represents that side of you. You have a side of you that's a little flamboyant too, because you're
yes, but it's kind of dormant right now because of other priorities.
Exactly, the money. The money is that's why the money has taken priority, and that side of you, which is the frivolous, flamboyant side of you, is you're are you choosing to be a career woman rather than a woman with a career right now? That's what we like women to choose.
I don't think I am, but it could be.
You might be putting that as a priority over, are you trying to date or be in a relationship?
Yeah, I am, but we haven't seen each other in a while because we've both been sick, and then he was sick for a longer period of time. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of have, like, loose plans to, like, see each other this weekend, but...
You only have one. Are you in a committed relationship with this person, or are you dating?
Dating, but it's exclusive.
You are commit. So are you in a sexual relationship with this person?
Not yet.
Okay, so, but you have made a verbal commitment at least to be exclusive?
Yes.
Long-term commitment with exclusivity, with longevity. Okay, so you have made that.
It's not long-term yet or anything, but yeah, that would be the direction that it would head.
Exclusivity, okay.
Yeah.
In the exclusivity dating phase, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you aren't putting that on the first top burner, the front burner right now, because are you working?
I am working, yes.
Okay, so that's on the front burner right now for you.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
I'm also in grad school, so those two are on the...
So the masculine side of you, which is going to school, getting whatever you're getting there, your degree, and you are working. So the relationship side of life... And the flamboyant side of you, the fun side of you, the little barrettes and things like that, and the flamboyant friend is the side of you that you're putting on the back burner. You don't want to do too much of that. You want to keep balance in your life. What can you be doing in your life that can give you balance so that you can still have some fun and have some frivolous time so that you're just not working and going to school all the time and becoming... turning yourself into too much on the masculine side?
I mean, I can take, like, you know, like dance classes here and there, or like I do spa day with my friends. So
good. Okay, good. So. Well, it's just this dream was to alert you that your identity will be shifting into masculine if you... Not only that you know didn't get your license in the mail, but also your own identity and how you operate is going to be shifting into masculine if you don't keep the balance in feminine.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, it kind of alarmed me because it was like such a vivid and like I could remember like all the details and it felt like I was there. Like it was weird.
Well, this is how I work with dreams, relating them to our waking lives. And it's really the back door to what's going on, to seeing what's going on in your daily life. And that is being suppressed, but it's wanting to bubble up from your subconscious to give you a message so you do something about it. So this dream was a beautiful dream because then I can reflect it to you and you can do something about balancing your masculine and feminine energies.
Yeah, I had a totally different idea of what I thought it was. Like I was thinking, oh, am I like being greedy or am I being like...
You're getting energy into the masculine side of life. Money is masculine. Money's masculine, it's working, it's productivity, and those other things in the dream were represent the feminine in you, and you definitely put them on the back burner. They weren't as, you even said it, oh sure, get rid of, I don't care if you have that, that's not important to me right now. So let's see if we can create some balance.
Okay.
Great, great dream. Thank you for calling
in.
Thank you, caller. Call us with another dream.
Absolutely.
Bye. Well, that was a good dream. Again, this is the second half of the Dr. Pat Allen call-in show where Patricia Elton will be interpreting your dreams. Our call-in number to get a pen and paper ready is 323-203-0815. Sam will see your number at the switchboard and call you back, so make sure you pick up the call and enter the number in your contacts so it doesn't go to spam. Hopefully, we'll get another call here for some dreams. If not, Patricia, do you want to talk to us a little bit more about dreams?
Yes, that's what I love to, and I do the dream.
Hello, you missed the voicemail box of Rox.
Well, we had a caller, but like again, please make sure that you enter this call-in number in your contacts so it doesn't go to spam. And remember, Sam, once you call in, you may get disconnected, but he calls you back. He sees your call-in number, if you can hear us here on the show.
Okay. So in the meantime, that's what I do. And, oh, they're back.
Oh, caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream you want her to interpret?
Hi.
Hi. I did not know we were doing dreams tonight, so no, I don't have...
Well, you can ask a question. Go ahead. Patricia, are you available to answer a question?
Oh, okay. A question about relationships?
Go for it.
Okay, perfect. So this guy, he met me online, and he... you know, he asked for my number and we were chatting. And so he invited me to come over to his house and he's going to cook. And it's kind of like a last minute type of thing. And he lives far from me. And that's the thing I'm debating is if I want to drive, you know, to
Let
his
me
house.
Ask you, and, had you met him in person yet somewhere?
I have not.
I have to say, all the information that's out there besides what we teach is that's not always the best choice is to go to someone you've never met in a public place first and go to where they live. It's not always safe and you don't really know this person yet. So you can, so they've invited you over and you did not accept yet. So just the best answer is, I so appreciate the invitation. So you make them right. And then you say, however, I'm not comfortable doing that, but I'd certainly be willing to meet you somewhere in between point A and point B sometime. And then you put the ball in their court that way.
Got it. Thank you.
But you don't want to put yourself in a position with a stranger in their home or in a hotel or... So unless it's a hotel lobby, but let's be safe nowadays, okay?
Yes, I was trying to figure out how to answer that in like a feminine way. Okay, so that helps.
The feminine way is to make them right by saying yes. Mm-hmm. If I so appreciate you asking me over, however, I'm not comfortable coming from your comfort zone, coming over there, but I'd be more than willing to meet you somewhere between whatever it is, this town and that town, point A and point B, and then the ball is in their court and they will come up with a plan B or not.
I like that. Thank you good. So much.
Good. Great question. Very good. That's an excellent thing to have everybody listen to nowadays. There've been problems out there in the cyber dating with people meeting strangers, and you need to meet them and get to know them publicly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
so much.
Thank you. Call us back again if you have a question.
Okay.
And then from 5 to 6, we do dream interpretation. So if you have a dream, okay, call us back.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you,
caller. Bye. We'll take any calls throughout the day. We're not picking
as they come. But the main thing is, when we're talking about dreams, is, well, I've been doing this for close to 30 years now. Oh, we got somebody. We got a liar.
Caller, you're on the air with Patricia. Do you have a dream that you'd like her to interpret?
Yes, I have a dream from last night.
Good.
Yeah, so in the dream, in a house, and we're having a family reunion. And I'm talking to, I think it's my aunt in the dream, and I tell her that I want her to meet my boyfriend, who in my waking life is my ex. But in the dream, I'm like, I want you to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, fine, that's fine. We can meet and, you know, we get to know him. And so the next time when the family is meeting, somehow he's not there. And then he shows up late, and I ask him where he was, and he doesn't really give me an answer. And then in the dream, it's like any time they're supposed to meet him, he just doesn't show up. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that I remember in the dream is the whole family is fixing a house.
Mm-hmm.
And the men are on the roof, and they're trying to fix the roof, but he's there. The boyfriend is on the roof, also up there with them fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the roof caves in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it crumbles down, and it falls on, so it's like it's a, the roof is like a triangle, and my mm-hmm. family is on one side and he's on the other side. And the way it caves in, like my family is crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also falls down. And so I run to like see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice that he's not hurt, but he's pretending to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I look at my family, and somehow my uncle has turned into a monk,
mm-hmm.
and he's like dying. And that's mm-hmm. when I wake up.
Mm. Okay. Well, what is the case that you were with your, in the beginning, you're with your aunt, your auntie?
Mm-hmm.
And she, what is her character type? How would you describe
in
her?
In real life?
Yes. Because she's a character in your play here. What is her character?
I actually don't really know much about her.
Mm-hmm. Well, did she have a visual? She's a relative. On, you know something about her. She's your aunt.
Like in my real life or in the dream?
Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. How would
in
you describe
in real life?
Yes.
In my real life, I don't know much about her. I've just never felt a connection.
You don't have to feel a connection. Did somebody ever tell you what she was like?
Yeah, somebody, I mean, I always she's not like the nicest person.
Okay, that's good enough. That's okay. So this is a kid. Everyone in your dreams is an aspect of yourself. So that represents a part of you that's not the nicest part of you, and she represents the masculine side of you. And so there's a little bit of a bastard side of you in there. She represents the bastard side of you. We all have positive and negative aspects to ourselves. And then the guy, what was his character type? The ex. How would you describe him in a nutshell?
I liked him, but
what was his character type? Mm-hmm. His character type in a nutshell.
How would I describe him?
Just some character aspect, like you told me about the end. Just a quick character aspect of him.
Let me just say, I broke up with him because I found him a bit feminine.
Okay, so he does represent the feminine side of you, but besides that, because he's a man, so was he a nice person? Was he nice, or
Oh no, he was nice. Yeah.
Okay, so his character type was that he was feminine. That's a character characteristics. Okay, so he was there, and so that's your positive and negative energies right there. So that's the nice side of you. That's the angel. He represents the angel, the nice side of you. She represents the little bit of the not so nice side of you. And now we're going up on the roof in this dream. Up on the roof is in your head. Every time you go up in a dream, when you're up high in a high building or going up, you're in your masculine, is which is in your head. You're in your thinking. And so somewhere in your life right now, are you overthinking things? And you're the family. What part of the family is this? Because that represents your script. When you dream of family, was it your parents, or what were these other people representing your family?
They were it was a mix.
Mix of
it
what?
Both.
What relatives? What
relatives from my dad's side and relatives like my siblings. It was a mix of
siblings.
Everyone.
Siblings. Okay, that's specific. Were there, besides siblings, were there parents?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't remember seeing my dad or mom in the dream.
Mm-hmm. But siblings are all, and they were males and females?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So these are your thoughts and feelings. You're going up in your head. You're up in your head, but now being up in your head, it's going to all collapse and come crashing down on you, because if you're a feeling-centered feminine woman, and to be up in your head all the time, eventually you got to come down. When you come down, you're in your feminine. What is going on in your life where you are overthinking things? Are you deliberating and ruminating on something in your life? Sounds like you're ruminating to me on something.
Yeah, I am.
What's the rumination here? Because that's the bad side of you and the good side of you. And you're going, yes, no, yes, no. And it's all going to come crashing down if we don't come to some kind of conclusion. So what are you ruminating right now?
I'm ruminating about just starting my business and moving
business. That's up on the roof, the business. Okay, but that could end up collapsing the other parts of your life if you don't be careful. So what are you ruminating about the business?
Where, if I should have it where I'm living now or move back to my hometown?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's the rumination, and it's getting to you, and it's causing you some anxiety. And here's how we do it. You take a calendar. When do you want to have an answer for yourself? And I'll give you a tool on how to come up with an answer on what you need to do. When do you want to buy?
And then I'll need an answer now.
Yeah. Well, you don't have instantly this. What would if I? Okay, so we take a calendar. Can you wait and decide within what? Can you take a month?
A month, yeah.
Okay, you take a calendar starting from today and you write a plus, so you go home, go to my hometown is one answer, and stay here is the other answer. So you can have two different colored pens on the calendar. And you do this every day, and each day you write what you vote for that day. Just make a vote for that day. You don't have to follow the answer. It doesn't mean that's the end of the result. But at the end of 30 days, you calculate and take a tally of all your answers that you took every day.
Okay.
And that will help your anxiety because you're going to vote each day.
Okay.
And another thing people sometimes do is every time it crosses your mind, you have a little spiral notebook you keep with you or a little pad. And every time it crosses your mind, you have two columns and you put a notch in a mark in this column for that answer for the go away and a notch in the other column that means stay. And the other one is go. So are you taking notes? I love everybody when they call me to take notes because these tools are crucial for the outcome of what you're trying to have transformation in your life.
Yeah, they're also this is also available on the website latalkradio.com. There's the archives of this show as well if you want to go back in and listen.
Good, right. Good.
Yeah, but I took a note. For
good.
Each day for a month, decide go or stay, go, stay, go, stay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then sometimes if you ruminate during every day, if you start ruminating throughout the day, you make a mark in each column throughout the day. And then at the end of that day, you make a tally and that's the answer for that day.
Right. Okay.
And that will calm your mind. That will calm your rumination because this dream, you're feeling like if you don't answer, come up with something, it's going to all come crashing down on you. It's creating some anxiety with you, and this is how you calm the anxiety.
Okay.
It's a great tool.
So the dream was showing anxiety is okay.
Yes, yes. And ruminating, it was showing the anxiety from the rumination. The anxiety is stemming from the rumination.
Does it mean anything that the family died and then the ex didn't? Or I guess my feminine side did not die but was pretending?
Hopefully, I wish for you, but you choose. You decide if you want to be a career woman, which would be, he would not survive. In this dream, your feminine survives, so you would, in this dream, the answer would be that you are a woman with a career. The career is second, okay. And the woman, being a woman is first. So that's that aspect.
Okay. Wow, great.
good work.
Yeah.
So I call us and give us a report.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah, we're almost ready to wind up. We have one more caller out there. We stop in about 8 minutes. If we get one more caller, do you have anything else you want to talk about, Patricia?
Yeah, this
and
is
we can wind
this,
it down.
This was a classic example, this last dreamer, of how I work with dreams correlating them to our waking lives through the back door of our subconscious, which is the dream world. So that's what's going on in our life, and it is being expressed in these of some people with bizarre images. But let me just tell you something. All dreams wish us well. So even if they seem bizarre or scary, they're bringing us a message for our personal growth and well-being.
Oh, that's great. That's great to know. And then tell them how, I don't think we went over how to capture your dreams. Give them a little
yes.
In feedback so we can have more callers next week.
Yes. Well, yes, the way to count, I'll give you chapter 7, by the way.
Okay.
How to catch your dreams. And the way we do that, I'll give you the short version, is keep a pad by your bed, people, and a pen. I like that. Some people, you have a recording device next to them, but it's easier to keep your eyes closed. You must keep your eyes closed for this 3 to 4 minute period called the Lyman state, as in subliminal. We are in this interim state of consciousness between sleeping and waking for 3 to 4 minutes only. But if you open your eyes upon waking, you are out of it and the images disappear. So please keep your eyes closed. And even with your eyes closed, scribble a couple of notes like, roof, X, boyfriend, X, just say X. Scribble a few notes, and then when you do open your eyes within 4 minutes, you will fill in the blanks, but you won't forget it, because everyone says, yeah, I'll remember it. No.
I'm guilty of that. I have it vivid in my mind, and I think, I remember that. And then as the day goes by, I lose pieces of it.
Everybody does, because that's a very unique state of consciousness that you cannot hang on to.
Why is that? Because you can remember what you did the day before or something, but you can't remember what you was vivid that you think you can remember. Why?
It's very that is basically the remnants of being in your subconscious mind
while you're
sleeping, and you cannot access that when you are awake and in your prefrontal cortex in the front of your mind in your waking life. You just can't access that. It's the closest thing. This is part of my training. What I teach people,
yeah,
people I've worked with for years, and it is a way to, I call it sixth sense training, but people become in touch with their own sixth sense when they practice this.
So you almost have to say, I want to remember my dreams, because until I started working with you, I wouldn't remember them. And then when I started to say, okay, I'm going to remember my dreams, I remember them.
That's right. And then when you get more advanced, you can start planting seeds.
Oh, okay.
Go to sleep.
And how does that work?
You write down, like this last caller we had that was ruminating about something. I need answers to this dilemma, whatever this dilemma is, and put it next to you. And you planted the seed. You don't have to think about it. You already wrote it down. And you will start getting messages in a strange form called dreams. It's the symbols aren't always. So I'm basically the interpreter of a message that you found in a bottle that's written in Greek. Okay.
Okay. That's a good interpretation. Okay.
Yes.
Well, we're winding down to the end of our show, Patricia. Do you have any closing words you want to say to our audience?
Yes, all dreams wish us well.
Please turn in next week to have Patricia interpret your dreams.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.